Blog Talk Radio.
Well, God bless you, and welcome to another edition of Can We Be Real? And tonight we're discussing a very important topic. And this is something that is not often spoken about, but is very prevalent in our society. We're talking about domestic violence and what really causes the issue of domestic violence, and what can we do over a superiority and inferiority mindset in relationships, be it married or unmarried? Why is there such a tendency towards violence as opposed to an idea to reconcile or to work out our issues without violence? Why is there such a superiority idea going on? We are here today, and we've been getting quite a bit of information on this, and so we're going to go right to some of our callers now, and we've got a number of callers on the line. One of the things I did want to read as we get started, because a number of people on my Facebook page, if you want to friend me, you can friend me. I'm Reverend Carl, R-E-V.K-A-R-L, on Facebook.com. And our website is helpsomebody.net. The best way to reach us is to send us an email. You can send an email to carl@efministries.org. The call-in number tonight is 347-855-8793. Welcome to another edition of Can We Be Real? One of our emails that we've gotten, they reference a article by Dr. Joe Carver. And Dr. Joe Carver has written an article that's entitled Night Vision for Women: Healing Begins by Illuminating the Darkness. And the title of it is called Warning Signs That You're Dating a Loser. We'll get into that a little bit later. And this is one of our individuals that have been suffering from domestic violence. And she says here, in the last 3 years, I've learned more than I wanted to about domestic violence. And Dr. Carver's article is one, domestic violence is not limited to male and female relationships. It often ignores social and economic and educational backgrounds. And many healthcare professionals only tinker around the edges of domestic violence and could benefit from reading the article. If you would like a copy of the article, just go to my website, Help Somebody, and I'll put a link up there after the show. We are, another lady has sent in, she calls this Diva. And for Diva, D-I-V-A, discernment is vital. Amen. That is her acronym, D-I-V-A. Discernment is vital. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but in essence, she says, decision-making was never part of my life. I consistently made poor choices. I could go from one bad relationship to the next without listening to discernment from God. Married 4 times, not in understanding my own emotional self. Mixed up emotionally, had mixed signals of confusion, was looking for love in all the wrong men because parents never showed me any love and affection. I needed to be more attentive to my ears in order to hear the discernment from God. She goes on, she says she'd married one at 18 years old, was nearly beat half to death. Husband number 2 ended up on drugs, abandoned the marriage. Husband number 3 was a silent abuser whose mother controlled the marriage. She has spoke about this. She's writing a book on it. She made her daughter-in-law, her mother-in-law actually made her life miserable while she was married to her son. Just wanted to settle differences. Instead, she attracted negative attention. She became a gold digger in the eyes of those who were witnessing this. And nevertheless, they were called back for a reunion. and was also called out. Husband number four abandoned the marriage and never told her why. Unfortunately, and as she's went on now, she's married for 3 years and has a wonderful husband. One of the questions we may want to address, too, is why do we accept such abuse? And why is it that we don't think we can get out of it? We do have a caller on the line who would like to come in. Good evening, caller from 678. Are you available?
Yes.
Good evening to you, and welcome to Can We Be Real?
And thank you.
You heard our part of our introduction and what we're going on. We're talking about domestic violence and in the household. And what would you have to say about it?
Well, if we're talking about in the household of faith, then that is a subject that we need to uncover itself. Being a Christian, loving God, understanding that divorce is not optional, but yet God don't want us to be hurting. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit, but yet God don't want us hurting. We're faithful in knowing who God is and being submissive as a wife, but yet we still pray and say, God, what do we do? I believe that there's a great deal of value that we actually speak to versus trying to speak to the discerning, having a discerning heart or spirit to hear the Spirit of God speaking, as the woman has spoke of a diva. But there is a core or there is a shell you have to break through in order to hear the Spirit of the Lord speaking to us. I've experienced it for over 26 years, and I've been in the church. And where my deliverance was, I was in bondage.
Okay.
Where my deliverance was, I was more fearful than anything. But one day the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, this is not what I want for you. And I had to listen because the temple was real damaged, physically, mentally, emotionally, and surely the Lord, I couldn't hear.
Now, you brought up a couple things, like marriage is supposed to be for life, and we're not supposed to divorce. But the issue becomes one of how do you deal with the abuse and misuse in the face of such religious vows? I mean, are we supposed to stay in a marriage where there's no love?
I don't really believe that the person, the opposite person or the person that is the abuser, I don't believe it's not dealing with love. I really believe that it's dealing with a bondage that has not been taken care of, because it comes from somewhere.
Hi, this is Gina. Please leave a message.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Okay, divorce is... it's a no. But when it comes to someone hitting, physically, mentally abusing, it's another subject. You would have to really consult God about that, you know, the Spirit of the Lord about that.
Mm-hmm.
And because the Bible says marriage is forever, but people don't want to get help. One can get help, the other one may not want to. You cannot change anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Prayers can change, but I'm going to share a secret, and you may know it. The Holy Spirit comes to change our will. We have a free will. We either want to believe that Christ died for our sins, or we either want to accept him for our personal Savior. He comes into our life, into our spirit, but that soulish realm, that emotional, we have to allow the salvation to come in and free us from the bondage that we have been captured by.
Okay. That's on one hand, I totally agree, you know, with the spiritual side and all of that. But we're talking about a woman, and if she's in a household and she's being told, you know, that she's supposed to be submissive. She's supposed to follow what the man has to say. She should stand down. She should not even stand up for her own self and her own rights, as opposed to and looking at the man the way that as Jesus is the head of the church, the woman is supposed to look at the husband as the head of the household. But in a and that's those are scriptures there that
right.
have come out of a first century Palestinian and early Israelite thinking. And many of those were of the social and cultural times. During that time, women had no rights whatsoever. They could they were lumped in with the property in the Ten Commandments. And in the in both sets of the Ten Commandments, she was lumped in with the neither covet neither his oxen or his other
right.
possessions, his house, or his wife. Originally, adultery in the first original sense was a property right violation of another man. So it has since evolved into what we have interpreted it as it being now. And many women have went back to very abusive situations. Some have literally been killed.
Yes.
Because their pastor, their bishop, their evangelist, their prophet, or someone who has directed them to go back into an abusive situation. And I don't, and that side of it is not spiritual. I'm just saying, because the Spirit of God is a loving, leading, guiding spirit. And one of the things that if we're being abused, then we must, by all means, stand up. Because even the religious rules of the day, Jesus upset the rules
right.
by allowing the woman to touch him, by speaking to the woman at the well, by validating women in his ministry. Women were disciples, even with Paul, and many denominations, even till today, will not allow a woman to do no more than fried chicken and to work as an evangelist. And
right.
so some of these things that I think when we get to the point of abuse, it is not right to validate that with God. And unfortunately, it has been one of those things. Let's bring in one of our other callers. Are you there from Texas?
Yes.
And
yes.
How would you join in the conversation?
Well, you know, if we're talking biblically, it says that we're not to be unequally yoked. And we, you know, I mean, do we pray about our mate? You know, because in my case, I went through abuse, and the scripture God kept giving me was about being unequally yoked, but I didn't quite understand what that meant.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is discernment, it's having understanding, but if you come, you know, if you come from two different backgrounds, you each have a history, and you can, and I'll piggyback on what the other lady said, you can't change anyone. You can only change yourself. So if you go into a relationship thinking that you can change the other person or control the other person, then you're deceiving yourself and you're having expectations that are not going to be met, you know.
Now,
and
one of the questions of discernment and as far as our mate and things like that, would you say that we could discern a myth?
Yes.
With regard to picking out who we are, Mr. West, are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Carl. And, you know, the ladies have brought up a very good point. Everybody's speaking from the biblical viewpoint. I like to speak
yes.
from the legal viewpoint. When you were talking about the the young lady that was married four times.
Yes.
And she was involved in three bad relationships. The fourth one, I think you said, the gentleman just walked away. Well, what, you know, the reason why the domestic violence bill was brought into play, just to give you a little history, when President Clinton passed the public safety bill, the crime bill, there was a section in there for domestic violence, and it became federal law for all police departments. Yeah, now I'm getting ready to explain that this is a federal law because women kept going back into abusive relationship, maybe on the advice of minister, family members, members, or on their own conscience, they went back in. The domestic violence bill states that when there is violence in a household and the police is called, somebody in that household must be ordered to leave or is arrested for what they call a 24-hour cooling-off period. The reason why, one of the reasons why the domestic violence bill was brought into play because of the number of women who were murdered, and this became a serious problem that Congress decided to take up this issue up on, and that is why they adopted the domestic violence bill. And one of the interesting thing about the bill is that they eliminated the fact that nobody could drop the charges. There were times when women would call the law enforcement people to come in to assist, and arrest is made, and the next day they go down to the station, they drop the charges. And this would go on and on maybe five or six times in some cases. Then on the eighth time, the individual end up dead. And then the media get hold of this, and they say, well, there's been the police have been called to this address a number of times for the same issue. Why was this man not in jail?
Mm-hmm.
So that is why they added the no-dropping charge to that. So it was really put in play to protect both men and women, too. You know, there are men who are being abused by women,
right,
believe it
right.
or not.
Yeah.
And there's been a number of them who have been arrested on this charge, taken in, and they have been given the 24-hour cooling-off period. And it's mandatory that everybody who's arrested go have to attend what they call anger management classes.
And this is so
true. This is mandated also by federal law under the domestic violence bill.
Mm-hmm.
So I was
mm-hmm.
just giving you a little bit of a history on why this year law was put in place to basically protect those who feel like they have to stay in that household for some moral reason or so. Are there any questions that I could help you with, Carl?
Well, one of the things I think that we have to be aware that, you know, especially in the sense that looking at from a religious point of view, and the idea is that oftentimes we come to a set that if we believe that God is some old guy in the sky who's making a list and checking it twice, and that we even pray like our Pledge of Allegiance that we're one nation under God. And my idea is that if we look at God in a hierarchical position, when we believe that God is high in the sky and high and lifted up above, and that the man is the head of the household, and then the next person is below him was definitely the woman, and then definitely the children fall in line some other place. And so we reinforce this superiority and inferiority thinking. That is one of the problems. I mean, even looking at the legal system, where it has now even the score where a man could be abused or a woman could be abused depending on who was hurt the most. So I'm just kind of thinking that if we're going to get to some of the bottom of these issues with regard to relationships and looking at because, you know, people always say they want to separate church and state, but the thing is, as ministers, we can marry you, but we can't divorce you. So you have to go to the state to get a divorce. And so the separation of church and state is almost, it's something that's more imaginary. But if what we believe, it becomes what we perceive. And what we perceive is what we step out on. It's the faith that we walk on and the faith that we base our grace on. And so based on that grace, we walk by faith. And so when we pick our mates, when we tolerate differences in people, Mr. West, because you've been married for a number of years, am I right?
Yes. 15 years, if you want to call that a number of years. Glorious years.
Yeah. And our first caller from 678. If you were one of the things that we had said as far as looking at our relationships with God and our relationships with our mates, that we aren't supposed to divorce people. And I think that how should we deal with a relationship that is basically someone is giving you rough treatment? They'll hurt you on purpose. They hit you. They twist your arm. They pull your hair. They kick you. They break personal property. How should we deal with that, even from a personal standpoint?
Are you speaking of beginning of a new relationship, or are you speaking you're already in that relationship?
Well,
because there are signs from my experience, and mm-hmm. I have an 18-year-old daughter, and I have taught her the signs. Mm-hmm. You know, we usually say red flags. No, they're yellow flags. There are, if you're a Christian or born-again believer, then you should be in pre-counseling. Before you even get to pre-counseling, if you're going to date this person, there are signs. Do he care about himself? Do he take care of himself? Do he have a low self-esteem? The things that he say to you about being around people, your friends, or even yourself. First of all, we have to deal with our own emotions. We have a low self-esteem as a woman, or the opposite if the man is that way. We have to deal with our own issues instead of pushing them on someone else. And I'm just speaking of low self-esteem. You know, signs are there, but are we awakened enough to see these things? Because are we desperate enough for a relationship and we just overlook? Oh, he's just a nice person. No, nice people have bad issues. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I mean, there's definitely ways of telling people and being spiritually aware, and also just it's very clear if someone is treating us bad, that they have shallow emotions, they don't connect with people, they don't talk. If they have like the honeymoon phase of the relationship, it just dies so much that we don't have. A together forever mentality. And even if we're just kind of just become really superficial with people, or we see signs that people are not healthy, then we ought not to become involved in them, which is true. Mm-hmm.
Carl, if I may add something. In this year time, we're dealing with a lot of peer pressure. Then some marriages are being upset by economic reasons.
Yes.
Maybe the husband has been laid off and he feels like his manhood is going into the drain because he's unable to support his family like the way he's been taught by his father and grandfather, that you bring the bread home, you put it on the table, you provide the roof over the head. And when they go into the low esteem, then there's the drinking or drugs. And things begin to spiral out of control. And then
all right.
This is when these parties have to make a number of decisions. Number one, do you remove yourself from this here setting of violence? Number two, then we go and get spiritual counseling. And do we also urge that our mate get counseling also too? And I think these are some of the points that we have to deal with now, because right now with the large amount of home foreclosures and job losses, violence is picking up in the households.
Oh, without a doubt. Let's go to one of our other callers from Alaska. Are you on the phone? Are you on the phone from Alaska, 907 area code? Okay, we can't get to him just yet, and we'll save him. How about Reverend Michael? Are you there?
This is he.
Yes, sir. Did you want to get in on our comment or question this evening?
I just want to share what's on my heart, and I know that it may just sound spiritual, but, you know, we serve a spiritual God, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And I believe that there is no situation, no circumstance. I mean, the Bible says there is nothing new that's happening in our lives that's under the sun. There's nothing new under the sun. And there is no temptation that has taken us that is common, uncommon to God, you know, that he would not provide a way of escape. And
right.
We're living in a day and a time now where we have serious issues, we have serious problems, and they manifest in a carnal sense. But God, amen, a lot of times, let's just deal with the knowledge. This is kind of something what I was hearing a little earlier, which was really a blessing. Whoever the woman was that was talking really blessed my soul, because really a lot of times we don't have the knowledge that we need. Everything don't need to be preached at us. Everything don't need to
Amen.
Be yelled at us. Everything don't need to be prophesied to us. Sometimes people just need to talk.
Amen.
If it wasn't necessary, the word of God wouldn't have said, amen, that we are to confess our faults one to another. That sounds like a conversation. It don't sound like a prophecy.
Right.
It don't sound like somebody laying hands on you fall out under the power. We thank God for all of that, and we know that it's necessary. Amen. But we need people we can talk to. We need accountability. We need people we can open up to. And for so long, amen, just dealing with it from a religious perspective, we in the body of Christ, we have not been taught to talk. We've been taught to pray. We've been taught to send angels. We've been taught to stand in the gap. We've been taught to do all of these spiritual things, but we have not been taught, amen, to just talk to people.
Well, there comes
open
a point when we have to realize, when we say that those that worship God in spirit and in truth. And the truth is reality.
Ain't that real?
That's the reality. And so the things that are true in religion, according to what Howard Thurman says, he says the things that are true in religion are not true because they're in religion.
Wow.
They're in religion because they are true. So wherever we find truth, and that's what Jesus says, I am the truth,
yes,
the way and the life. And so in knowing those type of things, how do we co-sign on such abuse?
I believe that first of all, the reason why a lot of things have been going on the way they've been going on in the body of Christ, or even in the world for that fact, is that we choose to ignore certain things, and
yes,
we have been taught as a culture that that's not my business, that's
right,
not my place. So we call it minding our own business when it really is your business. Amen. If you see a woman, amen, putting on 5 loads of makeup on one side of her face, then you know that something's not right. Amen. It ain't just I'm going to pray for you. No, I'm going over there and I'm supposed to talk to your husband. That's what
one of the things that we did in the church was to, in the ladies' bathroom, we would put a box in there. And then
uh-huh,
they could actually write a note and put
wow
it in the box.
Because
the violence would escalate if she reported it.
Right, I understand that. And
I was raised up
in a holiness church, and the holiness church taught my mother, amen, who I was brought up in an abusive home, which is probably why I have such respect for women. I don't look at women as sex objects. Come on. And so God allowed me to you know, I was brought up in that type of environment, and my mother was taught. I sat and watched my mother be taught by the Church of God in Christ. I don't mean to slander any religion. I'm not saying it all of that way. I mean, maybe make that clear. But at this particular Church of God in Christ, my mother was taught to pray for her husband,
mm-hmm,
and that stay there and that God would change him.
Yes.
13 years
abuse
later, she's still being abused. She's still packing, yep, makeup on her face. She's still being dragged through the house by her hair. She, you know, and still to this very day, my mother's young. I'm 36 years old. My mother's still young, and she has not so much as even married or had a sincere, strong relationship with another man because of abuse. She don't trust nobody.
The love of God is not in that.
It sure ain't.
At all.
She hasn't been able to move on.
I just got an email. Go ahead.
She hasn't been able to move on, you know. You talking to me? Or she hasn't been able to move on or do anything, you know, and she's just it's something that really that I've been praying about, you know, that burdens me, because you guys, when a person has gone through abuse, I was sexually molested and abused as a child. And when you grow up with these things, if you don't give that stuff to God, it will give you to something else. And it's a life of misery. And ain't no telling what else comes involved with that, with the spiritual aspect of it. But, you know, I pray for my mother that she would be restored. But a lot of times people, the big picture is abuse does not just abuse the person that got abused. It affects everybody that's connected to that person, and I'm done.
And also the children in the relationship as well. Let's see
if we
can bring in Brother Bobby. Are you there on the line?
I'm right here. I wanted to just pop in for a second. God bless y'all. Enjoying the conversation, but you got to understand one thing. It's in the book of Proverbs. There's got to be some wisdom about things. I understand how the old folks were brought up, and you got to stand by your man and all this other stuff.
Uh-huh.
There's a point in time where wisdom has to overcome the responsibility of traditional values in a marriage.
Yes.
I got to stand through and stay through
exactly
all this beating up. No, you got to get over there, because that's not what God has planned for you. You got to be strong, and you got to overcome, but you also don't have to take all that. I too came up under the same type of abuse, but I thank God for a mother that was from Alabama that put the man back in check real quick. And she said, "You hit me once, shame on you. Hit me twice, shame on me." And you know, and that still put the values back in the family, because if you let all that keep going on, it starts a generational curse. And it just keeps going on from generation to generation. That's why you've got to stop it at the main halt. Yeah, you got to pray about it. You got to take it to the Lord in prayer. But come on, when the Lord says, get up out of it, you better leave.
That's it. Shake the dust.
There has to come a day of reckoning in oneself to realize that what my grandmother had told me is that, baby, you got to know God for yourself. Mm-hmm. And when you hear the voice of God yourself, it may not be an audible voice, it might not be something that you can record, but it is clear, concise, and to the point to know that you don't have the right to do what is wrong. So many times I think it's because of misplaced values that often the men are taking on a role of being a superior when they need to be co-creators.
Wow.
See, all of that thinking that the man is the lead and the women's going to be bearing children and the man by the sweat of his brow, that is all after the fall thinking. That's Genesis 3 and afterwards. In Genesis 1 and 2, the woman was co-created with man in creation. See, and so when we get to a point when we begin to look down on people, misuse people, call them everything except a child of God, then we can misuse, abuse, and mistreat them because they're nothing. They're a N-bomb, they're a F-bomb, they're a B-bomb, they ain't no good, they're kicking up, they just anybody who can be misused. But the thing is that when I get in the right relationship with God, then I can say that I'm created in the image and the likeness of God.
Yes,
I don't have to be omnipresent, omnipotent, and all-knowing. I'm not everything. I'm not perfect. I stand to be corrected. And as God is perfecting me, then I have a mate who's helping me to move along. But the thing is that we've taken on a false sense of reality, not worshiping God in spirit and truth, but now we're operating out of the flesh, and
that's
we become
right.
competitors with our companions.
Oh, Jesus.
No, wait a minute. Let's tag on that for a second, Reverend. Let's tag on that for a second, because the one thing you said in there is it brings me back to how we were talking about that the man feels that they feel justified that they can do this. It's because everybody is taking a piece of the Bible and defining it into their own mindset. They're stopping by Romans 1 through 21 and turning the omnipresent God into a God, their own God, that can justify beat my wife or beat my husband, whatever the situation is, instead of getting the whole meat of the thing, instead of a little piece to make it work for what your situation is.
All right.
And that's the problem. You can't take a piece to work your and manipulate it to your situation. You got to take the whole thing.
That's what Peter said. Come on.
Here's an email. I just got it. I just got an email. He says, I think domestic violence, or for that reason matter, any other kind of violence, is a result of a lack of communication, no coping skills, and not being heard. So everybody wants to be validated. So I think it also has something to do with most couples not really knowing how to love. And he goes on, he ends with, consult 1 Corinthians and 13 for a start.
Yes. But how do we learn how to love? We have to have a proper, that something that's been stirring in my spirit, and to the point, we cannot have a proper, appropriate, official, sincere, real, authentic relationship with anybody, not even ourselves, unless we learn, unless we have, received or been taught or trained or basically have a sincere relationship with God. Because God is love. He is the definition of love. And if we don't fall in love with him, if we don't let him teach us, everything that we know is going to come out in everything that we do, in every form of relationship, on our jobs, in our environments, whether we speak to somebody when we walk past them at Walmart, whatever the case may be, everything that we do is based on something we have learned. It's learned behavior. So it goes back once again to the information that we've received or the way we were taught. But then all of this stuff can go away when you have a proper relationship with God, because nobody really knows what love is until you go to the person who created it. If you have a problem with a product, you call the owner of the product, the manufacturer. If you have a problem, if you want to know something, you want to be educated about something, don't go, to second best. Go to the boss. I'm going to the head. And God is the manufacturer. He is the author and the finisher. He's the beginning and the end. So if you want a proper relationship in any area with anybody, any type of relationship, you've got to go to God. He is love.
What advice do you give to those out there in the listening audience when you have one person in the house who is standing next to God, believing and trusting God, and then you got the other spouse who is possessed by the devil?
I mean,
what is the answer there? I mean, there's got to be an answer, because usually somebody ends up in a funeral home.
Exactly. Well, the Bible says that how can two people walk together unless they be in agreement? So somewhere along the line, they were in agreement in order for the other person to end up in that house.
Exactly.
So you have to. If the confusion has come, that means somebody has chosen to stand for God, and then somebody's chosen to keep on walking in whatever it is they were in agreement about originally.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes right back to the originator. If you originally was walking together, it's because there was some kindredness there. There was an agreement there. How can two walk together unless there be an agreement? So the solution would be somebody's got to go, or somebody's got to submit to God, because God's going to win. God's going to win. And I understand what you're saying, because my mother was a missionary, Church of God in Christ missionary, and a lot of people, they just told her to stay there. Keep on praying. God will change him. You know, God will change him, God will heal him, God will deliver him. You know, and that deliverance came several years after he left the whole house. You know, he's been married 3 or 4 times since then. And but the truth of the matter is, man of God, I think that what it's going to take is for somebody to make a stand. And when they make a stand, make sure it ain't in their flesh. Make sure that it's God. And then use, and God, like the man of God said a while ago, it takes wisdom. You do need to ask the Lord for wisdom on how to deal with things, because the solution is not always run and leave.
Oftentimes, too, when we have individuals that, you know, are in that same household, and we'll say, we'll label them, they've got a demon, they're of the devil, they're of this.
Uh-huh.
And these type of labels, oftentimes, we not only can invent that type of label and invite that reality in and nurture that thing to us.
Yes, sir.
But I
yes,
tell
sir.
You that with God, all things are possible. And
yes,
so
sir.
As we become closer to God and become more one with God and embody the love of God, is that in they call it the Shema. It's in Deuteronomy 6:4, where God says, I am one, and the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. It doesn't mean to take abuse. What it
That's
means is that sometimes you might have to distance yourself from people.
All right.
See, and we get to the point where we start taking abuse because of the money, because of the house, because of the car, because of the prestige, because of the fame. And like Brother Michael was saying, is that these things are carnal. These things are natural, because we're not moving in the Spirit of God.
Yes.
And when we move by the Spirit of God, then we can look at all that temporary stuff and
say,
Lord, I'm not going for that madness, and I don't have to take it. And see, that's the embodiment of going through a relationship and being empowered to overcome the abuse. We've got a call from Seattle. Are you on the line?
Yes, I am.
And we're talking about domestic violence, and what would you have to add to our conversation?
Well, what I have to say is that what happens in a relationship, and I was listening earlier where people were saying that you'll have one person, it could be the man or it could be the woman, who wants control. And when that person loses control, and if you have been accepting, they, you know, your husband, I'm going to use, for example, me, my husband, with having affairs, not coming home. And so you just, you go along and you accept it. And so you, I accepted it for 10 years. And then after a while, you say, okay, well, I'm not going to accept this anymore, and I'm going to leave. And then you start complaining. And that person has gotten used to you accepting what they were doing, okay?
Uh-huh.
And I left. I said, I left the house. I had the beautiful home. I had a Rolls Royce. And I left all the materialistic because it did not matter anymore. Because you
Amen.
Cannot keep physically feeding me for nothing, okay? And
My
took
God.
The children and left. And then even after I left, the abuse still kept going on. And it came to a big, it came to a head one day where I'm blessed today to be alive because God just said it was not my time to die.
Amen.
So what happens is that when you know, and people can't deal with rejection. And so here you had a man, and this man was, he was brought up in the church. His father was the bishop. His mother was the first lady of the church. And they,
mm-hmm.
the father was no longer, his father had passed away, but the mother saw the abuse. And they turn their head, and that's what everybody does. They don't want to get involved. They don't want to say anything. Okay? Because, you know, everybody just wants it to go away. And, you know, I'm just, I mean, it's just, I tell people that you have, when somebody starts mentally, physically abusing, you have to seek help. And for us to be black, oh, that's a no-no. They don't want to go talk to anybody. They don't want to seek counseling. You know, mm-hmm. they're pastors. They don't want to get involved. And it's just, you know, it goes back to the, and I think, and even in the Bible, what does it tell you? To spare your child, you know, spare the rod and save your child and all that to the beating. And that's why I don't believe that we should hit our children. Because when you hit your child when they're little, you're teaching them that you've done something I don't like. So I'm going to hit you. I'm going to scream at you. And that is a learned behavior. And when they go to school and when they get a girlfriend, they get a wife, you have a, okay? They've been taught that, and so here we go to that control. You're not doing what I want you to do, so I'm going to beat you.
One of the things that comes up in this article by Dr. James Joseph Carver, he points out a number of things that happen in abusive situations, and we were speaking about the warning signs. Jesus didn't have to go to Calvary for this. It's basically common sense, and common sense is also a gift, too, what the Lord laid in my spirit, but it's just that a lot of people don't use it, and what they will do, the abuser will kill your self-confidence. Slight mistakes, they'll call you unintelligent or you're unattractive. They'll continue to cut off your support. They want to isolate you from supportive friends and the influence of other people who may offer you positive reinforcement. They want to treat you badly. They go through mean and sweet cycles. They'll be mean one time and then they're sweet again. The loser, they always say it's your fault. And then when it comes down to the breakup, they panic. You can't leave them. They're paranoid and they're control freaks. In order to keep you under control while in public, they will publicly embarrass you. They'll call you names, say cruel, embarrassing things. And whatever you do, it's never enough. If you change your hair, you change the way you cook, you change the way you drive, you change the size of your body, it's never enough. The level of improvement always goes up. It's It's never enough. The entitlement that they have is an entitlement that you go out and work all day, but you come in here and you still be made homemaker. And it goes on and on, from the reputation to walking on eggshells around them. The key to it is to getting to know, as Prophet Michael has said, getting to know God for yourself in a way that you know God, that you have the mindset and the awareness of God, that you could stand on the ability that God has given us to overcome the falsehood, the evil, and the lies. Even as Jesus has said, "Fear not, for I have overcome the world." There comes a point when we really have to stand up for ourselves. And we're coming to the end of the program, and I want all of my guests to have a final thought, say so, in as we come down to the end of the program. And if each of you could probably take about 30 to 45 seconds to come up with your final thoughts. I know we just barely got started, but you're listening to Can We Be Real, and we're here every Thursday night, and you can visit us on the web at helpsomebody.net and find out when the next shows are, or go to Facebook and you can friend me, rev.karl, and we'll be back on the program next week as well. So let's just start with you, Prophet Michael, and go ahead and give us your final thoughts as we wind up.
Amen. I just want to really just reach out in prayer in Jesus' name, Father God. Quickly, Lord, touch every mind, every heart, Lord, that can take call today, because people are still carrying baggage. I pray in the name of Jesus, God, if we have to leave the baggage at the airport, so be it. It's the flight out of here that we need.
Yes.
If we got to leave the baggage, Lord, let us leave the baggage and catch the flight. So I pray in Jesus' name, Father, that you would just minister the hearts, and God, that this thing will continue, Lord, to minister and reach out and change lives. And just get to know the Lord. That's the last thing I have to say.
Amen, amen. We appreciate you and your input and taking time from your busy schedule. I know we've been playing phone tag all day, and I look forward to doing more with you, my brother.
Yes, sir. You too, sir.
God bless you. Mr. West, are you still on the line? Your final thoughts.
Yes, I am. Your last caller, I'm glad that she removed herself from the violence. She took that most important step, and then she went and seek other, you know, guidance besides her spiritual guide, and she got a happy sound in her voice as a result.
Well, we sure appreciate you participating and bringing in the legal perspective, knowing that people don't have to put up with it. Legally, you can have that hard-head loser arrested and have them put away, because it does escalate. It goes on and on, and unfortunately, we have to get to a point sometime where we have to realize we cannot help everyone, and we have to turn them over to someone who can handle them. Maybe they'll have a cage to put them in to help them to get themselves together. We thank you for the legal perspective, Mr. West.
You're welcome.
Are you still there, all the way from Texas?
Oh, yes.
Yes, and your final thoughts as we wind down the program.
I would just say that, you know, not seek God, but also have wisdom, and, you know that you can't change anyone, and that you have to save yourself before you can save someone else.
Amen, amen. Yeah, we definitely have to have wisdom, and the key to it is to make better choices.
Yes,
And I think also one of the points you brought up, too, that came to mind when you were talking was that people come into our lives for a specific purpose, and
yes.
Sometimes we're supposed to have a time together, and we make children, and when that time is gone, it's over with. And I know it's not the formal way, but with so many single parents and so many people who cannot have permanent and lasting relationships, but yet we had children together. So there has to be some type of communication, some type of interaction that would be wholesome and safe for all parties involved, the parents and the children as well. So I think that's key, that we have to realize what we can do with people and how do we operate, even under difficult, strenuous circumstances when we are really at each other. And I think that the legal profession sometimes is very necessary.
Yes.
All righty. Well, God bless you and keep on. Thank you for your input tonight. And all the way from Seattle, what are your final thoughts?
One thing I would like to say is that when we meet somebody, we need to really see how that person is. We need to accept them, because so many times you'll get with somebody and you try to change them. And if that person is displaying anger or they have, if they're controlling, you better run, because it's not, it's going to only get worse. You know, I never thought that I would want to, it's like the old wives' tales that when you meet somebody and you bring them home and you let your mother and your father and your sister and your families approve of them and be around that person and seek out God and see what type of person that is. And also, if anybody is in any situation of being abused, please get out.
And seek help while you still have an opportunity to seek help, because there is help available. And one of the things, even in our culture, because I volunteer at the Atlanta Union Mission as well, and they have a segment just for women and children. One of the startling facts that I've heard about is that we have more shelters for animals, dogs and cats, than we do for women and children. And that is
a sad
state of affairs in our country in this day and time. But we sure thank you and we congratulate you for overcoming and coming through and being able to be an empowerment by sharing your story, because there's someone out there who will be free to know that you can stand up, you can get out of an abusive situation, and you can go forth. But don't try to do it by yourself. Seek help. Seek counseling. Seek professional help that can help you to get an understanding and a clear vision to move forth. And thank you very much for sharing.
Thank you.
Well, as we come down to the last few minutes of this show, we thank you very much. This is Reverend Carl with a K, and you can find us right here on the net. We're here every Thursday night from 9 p.m. until 10 p.m., and as we are going forth, this is Eastern Time. The call-in number is 347-855-8793, and we promise to keep it real as long as you're listening. And even as we look in the Bible, we'll say that life and death are in the power of the tongue. God says that I am that I am. And so what is God for you? Some would say God is a battle fighter, or God is a God of peace. A God that looks beyond my fault and sees my need. But whatever God is to you, that's what God will be for you. And that God will project for whatever, that same God that you see, you will project that image. And so if we have a God that looks beyond my fault and sees my need, then we will project forgiveness and loving and kindness. And we'll look for opportunities to show that God, to be real, to be really real. In fact, there is an opportunity for us to move outside of what we have physically, to be empowered in the Spirit and to move by the Spirit, so that we can get a way to walk towards God in love, in trust, and knowing that even if I have to walk alone, remember, Jesus went in the garden, and though he had close companions, he had to spend time alone with God. So empower yourself, strengthen yourself in your inner spirit, and walk out, standing up, knowing that God brought you to it. God will bring you through it. This is Reverend Carl with a K. We appreciate you. God loves you. God created you, and God sustains you. Come back and visit us again. You can listen to it, blogtalkradio.com/help somebody. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. We love you and thank you very much. Knowing that God has brought you to it, God's going to bring you through it. And you can do what is right for you. When you be in right standing with yourself, you'll be in right standing with others. And you will acknowledge the God in you. God bless you and keep you until we meet again. Thank you for listening. This is Reverend Carl with a K.